Dynasty Football Network presents Super Flexible Podcast with your two co-hosts, Tudrick and Swags, and host, Steve Halepka. Let's go!
Just kidding, Steve ain't here. We bring the Super Flexible Podcast here for you guys. Man, do we have some guests today. Of course, my boy Swags is here. What up, dude?
What is up? No Steve tonight.
We do have a guest here. He's usually the one that's used to doing the hosting here, so he gets to sit back a little bit. What's up, Sykes?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I even started laughing over what you guys were doing. It's kind of a reflex now, and it is very difficult to sit back and have somebody else do this job. But yeah, I'm happy to be here, guys.
You're the man that makes them sound smart.
Somebody needs to. We're gonna keep going. We also got Mr. Dynasty Warzone himself, Memphis. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, fellas? How you doing tonight?
Great, man. How are you? Thanks for coming on tonight, guys.
No problem.
Absolutely. And I know you just mentioned Dynasty Warzone. For me, I'm from Dynasty Trades HQ with Shane and Jeremy.
I felt like that was a given, but we definitely need to say that.
Hey, that's awesome, actually. All right, then I'll just sit back then.
I didn't even know we missed it.
Right? Exactly.
No worries.
I had to learn on this one. It's cool. So, man, I don't know how long we got you guys for, and we might even drop a link into a DFF chat and see if we can't get one more cat in here. Swags, I know you're still on that there.
Yeah.
But let's jump right into this the news here. Can go ahead and pull one out for Darius Geis. How are you guys feeling about this? I hear John Gruden saying he doesn't want to bring a running back in, expects to have it there. Are you buying any of these pieces?
I'm buying Samaje Perine. I know people are making fun of him, and I guess last year he was the punchline of the rookie class that was pretty amazing, but look how bad that offensive line was last year. If he shores up the fumbles, he had a couple of really decent fantasy games, and he showed a three-down skill set, and let's be honest, Chris Thompson, not the healthiest cat around. So I like Perine. I think Fit Rob will get the first crack, but I'm not necessarily love anybody, but if I had to pick one at value, I'm buying Perine.
The O-line should be better. It was decimated last year, so it's healthy. Sipes, you got anything different there? You want some more fat, Rob?
No, I don't want any of those guys, actually. For me, you know, Geis was my guy in every one of my leagues and all my drafts. I was grabbing him everywhere. So yeah. It really killed me that he got hurt. I mean, similar to last year, I took Dalvin Cook everywhere. At least I got three games out of him.
So are you trying to go get Geis now? Were you trying to buy low, or do you have too many shares and you have him everywhere?
No, in the 13 leagues I'm in, I have him in 10. So I'm not sure I can get him in the other three. For me, one of the things I think, like you were just saying about Perine and Fat Rob and all that stuff, those are the kind of guys that at this point right now, you don't know which one's going to do anything. So grab whichever one you could get at the cheapest price, you know, whether you're grabbing them off waivers or you're getting them as a throw in a trade, because what I found in the last bunch of years, especially with these running backs, is every time one goes down, the next guy steps up. So by week 5, week 10, week 14, your starting running backs are totally different than what you have in week 1. So get whatever you could get at the cheapest price. At least that's how I feel right now.
Yeah, man, I'm kind of on the Memphis side with Perine. I'm completely really not interested in Kelly. I think it's going to go to Perine if he's healthy. And man, as a Geis owner, today I was looking at a couple teams and trying to acquire Perine, but I don't know what to send out, so it didn't get further than me looking. But would you be comfortable with a 2019 second as a Geis owner? What about you, Memphis? Would you go buy Perine for a 2019 second?
Oh, buy Perine. You said as a Geis owner. Okay.
If you are the Geis owner, yeah. Either way,
he threw me an offer up. I had Chris Thompson, so he wanted Chris Thompson, and he sent me Samaje Perine and Keelan Cole. And I was like, done and done.
Yeah. Who did that? Who did you say did that?
The gentleman is part of the GOAT District Leagues. I saw this trade. And I went to make sure that Keelan Cole hadn't gotten arrested or smoked any dope. that he had not been thrown in jail. I was like, yeah, because, I mean, like I said earlier, Chris Thompson, not the healthiest cat around. He's good for 5 or 6 games, whether he needs to or not. But, man, I like Keelan Cole. I'm high on Keelan Cole. He led that team in yardage last year. And I know the media down there in Jacksonville is a bunch of pom-pom waivers, because every week you get a story like this week, it's – D. DJ Chark and D.D. Westbrook's turn, but 2 weeks ago it was Keelan Cole and Dante Moncrief and even a little Austin Seferian Jenkins. So I'm on Cole. I was happy to get it. And, I mean, I look at P. Ryan or Chris Thompson as like a one-year rental until Geis gets back. And Geis is the kind of guy that I'm going to try to scoop up mid-season, because right now everybody, you know, feels the vultures circling overhead, and they're getting lowballed, and they're getting upset. So I'm just going to lay back, not going to ruffle any feathers of the Geis owners, and I'll swoop in somewhere around mid-season. Maybe they're contending. Maybe they need a piece. Maybe they're out. Maybe I can, you know, just try something then. But right now, it's a you're trying too hard. Like the guy who tries to swoop in on the hot chick after she breaks up their boyfriend on off Instagram. That's what you're doing right now. Don't be that guy. No one likes that.
Yep. And say what you want, but P. Ryan had 200 yards almost receiving last year. So, and he wasn't used a whole lot, man. I don't know. I don't mind him. And I think even if you get P. Ryan for the right price and you already own Geis, that's the handcuff you'll still want next year.
That's fair. I'm going to go a little out of order here, Swags. I'm going to throw your Geis trade in here because we got one or two down there as well. But so in a Superflex startup recently, my boy Swags over here acquired Darius Geis in a 2019 third. And he gave away Baker Mayfield in 2022nd.
I got the 2022nd with Geis, and he got the 2019 third with Baker.
That's why I asked you like three times today. Yeah.
and reread that text.
What's so funny is the way you guys do that. I like how you said I'm jumping all over the place with this show sheet and those guys and those trades all over. It reminds me of hanging out with Shane and Jeremy, and we just go all over the place.
Literally went from the top to the bottom, the last thing for the show.
But I don't think those picks really make a difference. I would still rather have the Geis in the pick than the Baker in the pick. It doesn't matter what those picks are.
I agree as well. I think Baker's accuracy in the NFL will make sure that he's not a bust. But I think his physical – he's not the most talented athlete. So I don't think his upside is Drew Brees, but I don't think he's Johnny Manziel either. He's somewhere in the middle. And I think Darius Geis has all the makings of someone who can be legitimately special in the league. I would rather have Geis, especially if Baker was like my, you know, fourth or fifth quarterback.
I was going to say, yeah. Swag, do you remember where you took Baker at? Was that like – it was probably at least your third.
At this point in the draft, I owned Dak, Winston, and Goff, and Baker was my fourth quarterback. And he wanted to sell Geis, and he wanted Baker. And I like Geis, I think, kind of like Sipes here does. So
it's funny, too, that you say that he wanted to sell Geis. You know,
it was the day after. Like, yeah, I think he was just feeling that, you know, like, oh.
Well, he drafted Geis at the end of the second or right around that third turn, something like that. And then the next day, that news came out.
Oh, jeez. Oh, really? The next day?
Yeah, it was super close, right? Like,
yeah, this happened like the draft's still going on.
Yeah, see, that's what happens when it started this late.
That is funny. Yeah, most of the stuff I've done is all way back for the draft, you know, all the way back there.
So I traded for Geis and then drafted P. Ryan later.
Oh, so there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, so you did that. Oh, so this trade was during the draft that you guys are
doing right now.
Oh, then that's an awesome trade. You know, you guys as a super flexible team podcast, what do you guys think about Tyrod Taylor for people that are playing right now? Obviously, for redraft, it'd be different than Dynasty, but what do you guys look at with Tyrod?
I mean, Baker balled out in that first one, right? But I'm going to have a hard time thinking that Tyrod's going to get pulled when the Browns are like 3-3 going into 7. Browns haven't won that many games in 2 years. So he's going to be super accurate as long as he doesn't turn over the ball, which he doesn't normally do. I'm going to have a hard time them pulling Tyrod. But it's Hugh Jackson, so anything's possible.
I didn't mean to take over as a host type of thing, but
Don't even worry about it.
But I just was wondering what you guys think for Tyrod, because so many people are just like, oh, it's only Baker, and they just kind of gloss over Tyrod. And even in one of the trades in one of my leagues I just did, somebody threw in Tyrod as a piece to get the trade done. And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. I'll take him too. So I didn't know what you guys thought about that.
What do you think, Memphis?
I think Tyrod's great, especially if you, you know, were managed to draft Baker, or you're sitting on a guy like Carson Wentz or Deshaun Watson, guys coming back from ACLs. If you're a Stefania Bell fan, which I am, I mean,
me too.
Yeah, she not only is she smart and really knowledgeable about the game, she's kind of decent looking there. But we talked about this last year with Keenan Allen, that guys coming off ACL always start slow. They always do. I mean, they're getting used to game speed again. They're used to getting hit again. And it wouldn't be surprising if Carson Wentz or Watson got off a little bit slow, and Tyrod's a nice little security blanket. I don't think he's going to have much value past week 8 to 10, but it's a quarterback in a super flex league.
See, so. And that's my problem right there is the last part you said. And because I'm definitely the ageist of the group on the Super Flexible podcast, and I like to play the stocks, and I don't want to lose my stocks. And I feel like Tyrod Taylor is a player that you have to pay a little bit more right now to get than he'll be worth to me next year. And I'm looking at next year a little bit, and I own Tyrod Taylor from last year, and I've tried to acquire Baker in those leagues. I don't feel like I can sell him because I need him, but I definitely don't want to go buy him. I'm not interested in him anymore. Like, I'd love to sell him. If anybody's interested in any of those leagues that I own him and you want to make a solid offer, come and get him. I'd like to get it while the stocks are still where they're at rather than lose out on it next year.
Yeah, and it's funny too, because Randy mentioned Carson Wentz, and like Two Drink said, you know, we jumped down to the bottom. If you jump back up to the top, Carson Wentz was one of the things you guys wanted to talk about with week one, with him not being ready for week one. With you guys in a super flex, what are you guys doing with those teams that you have Carson Wentz? If he's not ready for week one, what are you telling people to do to get ready for that?
I think you can go get Foles, or you can go get Fitzpatrick if you need to. You've got 3 weeks out of Fitzpatrick. There's going to be some other quarterbacks you can still get cheaper and have your studs like Wentz and Winston back if Winston can limit some of those interceptions. But, I mean, Winston's got a lot of targets to throw to. I mean, if he can't succeed with those targets, and, I mean, I hate to play that, if he can't succeed with all those targets. But, I mean, if he can't – I mean, he's got Howard – he's got Godwin coming up. He's got DeSean Jackson, and he's got Mike Evans, of course, and Brate, plus the running backs. I don't know. He's got a lot of places to go, and if he runs it, I'm happy to have Winston. And so I've already kind of got some shares of him where I've been trying to take care of that. But you can get somebody like Wentz and then get Stafford later too. Stafford's going a little earlier this year, though. It's driving me crazy.
Don't forget, like, if you need, like, a bridge guy to get to Wentz or Deshaun Watson, there's also the possibility of getting Teddy Bridgewater or Josh McCown dirt cheap. So
absolutely.
They're really cheap.
There's still a couple of guys out there that, you know, you can scrape the bottom of the barrel and get by a couple of weeks if you absolutely have to.
Even Eli Manning, who will probably likely play the season, but, I mean, he goes so late. Or Joe Flacco, people are so done with him that you can go get him for a rental.
Yeah, Joe Flacco is always still floating around there way, way late in all these startups. And even in a couple of the free agent auctions that we just did this offseason, Flacco's always the last one taken.
Yeah, yep. And Lamar Jackson's like one of the first rookies taken.
Yeah, exactly. What do you guys think of RG3? Do you guys recommend people? You know, I'm just asking you with this show as a Superflex thing, do you guys recommend RG3 to people?
I have yet to do that, and I don't really see myself doing that. Outside of Flacco getting hurt, I think he's going to be all right this year, and I think it's his job. So, I'd rather take the upside play and wait on Lamar Jackson, and I think RG3, even in Superflex, is definitely out there and around.
Yep. Yeah, I just saw some people pick him up off waivers this week. That's why I asked. Well, those are some big glasses, Joshua.
You look good. Oh, nice. Look at this. We got somebody else.
Whoa.
Josh from Rookie Fever, what's up, buddy?
Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Are you on a CB?
I was right? Gonna say, yeah. Are you in a foreign country somewhere?
Hold on.
That's all right. No, you asked about RG3. I'm really not, but you know, you mentioned Eli Manning, and we said this on the Dynasty Warzone a couple weeks ago. You know, help me understand. If Odell Beckham's gonna ball and Evan and Saquon Barkley's going to ball, and Sterling Shepard's going to ball, how in the blue is Eli Manning not going to ball?
And Ingram.
We had that exact conversation on Dynasty Trades HQ too. You've got all these players that you say are these top guys in their position, but then Eli goes like second to last quarterback drafted.
Don't forget Pat Shurmur, who made Case Keenum last year and a QB one most of the season.
Yeah,
I mean, Eli's not just moderately mediocre,
right? For sure.
And the offensive line should be better, right?
Oh, they got
Will. Can't be worse.
Now, as a Colts fan, I'm glad we got Quentin Nelson, but Will Hernandez went one pick ahead of the Colts. The Colts ended up drafting Braden Smith out of Auburn, but I was so hoping to be able to stack that interior with Will Hernandez, Ryan Kelly, and Quentin Nelson for the next decade. Andrew Luck would have had a clean pocket for the rest of his life, but so, Will Hernandez, pocket for the guys, is a nasty, nasty man.
Randy, I got to ask then, who's your favorite Colts running back?
My favorite Colts running back is Jordan Wilkins. Now, if you're looking for immediate results and guys that's going to help you, it's Nyheim Hines. He's the second most dynamic player on that offense behind T.Y. Hilton. You know, it's a PPR world. He's going to be the third down guy. And I've painted this scenario before. But let's say hypothetically he gets 3 to 4 catches a game for 20 yards. There's 6 PPR points. So let's say he gets a handful of rushes, another 20. So right there is 8 to 10 points a week. Just in a limited role. And last year, Buck Allen of the Baltimore Ravens was RB24 or an RB2 at 10 points a game. There's no reason why Nyheim Hines can't help you. But if you're looking for long-term upside, it's Wilkins. I think he's got a three-down skill set. And I'm really excited to see what Frank Reich in this new offense looks like.
And you're just writing off Marlon Mack?
I never heard of him. No, Marlon Mack. is a nice change of pace guy. He bounces too much to the outside. He's got a hamstring. I don't know. I traded Marlon Mack for a first in the league, and every time I see
things, I do that too.
For sure.
It was a 110, and I turned it into Cortland Sutton in a standard league. Because
Gave you a first for Marlon Mack?
Yes, sir. It's a league I'm in with the Fantasy Football Fellas, Seth and Kyle.
Was it Seth and Kyle?
No, sir, it was not. It was runner-up last year, as a matter of fact.
It's just funny to me. I mean, I go back to what I said with the Washington guys. I still believe – uh-oh, we lost somebody.
Having some weather.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I still believe that, especially with the way that the running back position works in the NFL, with fantasy-wise, you just have no idea which one of these guys you're going to be starting by the end of the season. So all of these guys, we have this – we have this value of what they should be, and you have them on your team, but you got to get some of those other guys behind them because most of them aren't going to make it all the way to week 16, you know?
Yeah.
You know, give yourself a share of a good offense. I always give credit when I borrow someone else's research, and the fantasy footballers, they did a thing where last year of the RB1s, the top 12 in PPR, 9 of them were on playoff teams. And the ones that missed were Zeke, and I can't remember the other two. So if you have a good offense, I think the offense is better. Josh, are you here?
He's like waving goodbye to everybody.
Oh, you guys couldn't run me off if you tried.
Now we can hear you. So go ahead. What were you saying about the fellas?
I was like the footballers. They were talking about how, you know, RB1s last year on, I think 9 of the top 12 running backs last year were all on winning or playoff teams. And only Zeke and 2 others weren't. So, I mean, if you can get on a good offense like Green Bay, just pick you one of the 3, whatever one you can get cheapest, or New England, like whether it's Burkhead or Sony or James White, just get you someone attached to a good offense and good things will happen.
And that's the thing that I said at the beginning, too. Get the cheapest one so that you're not overpaying for one of these guys that you may or may not even use.
Let's go on to Penny with the broken finger. Now going to be out a couple weeks.
Let's introduce Joshua really quick. He just got on.
Again?
Yeah.
What up, Josh?
What up?
Hey, Josh.
I want J.D. McKissick.
Nice. Just jumping right to it. I love it.
So that's who you would target, Josh, is J.D. McKissick out of all those, or are you making a joke?
No. Yeah, that's who I like. He's the most versatile. And I, in the case you guys didn't know this, I found Chris Carson. Like, I discovered him. Brian Hawks is my witness from the Capology 101 podcast. We did like a running back podcast, rookie running back podcast before the draft. And Chris Carson was my sleeper. but now I don't like him anymore.
I remember the day picking him up in my main league. I was actually at a restaurant and I was like trying to get on my phone to pick him up off of waivers. I don't remember exactly what happened, but he was a free agent and I was like trying to do it really quick. I had to drive home really quick and add him. And I love that kid. I have him in my main league and in quite a few other leagues. So I would rather have him than Rashad Penny going into the drafts this off season.
Dynasty or redraft, like for both?
Well, I don't do redraft, so I guess for okay. See, the thing that unfortunately I go back to what I was saying before too. I don't have a whole hell of a lot of confidence in some of these running backs. You know, obviously you got your Gurleys, your Bells, your I love Dalvin Cook and stuff like that. But a lot of these other teams, there's so many running backs there, so you just get the one that you like the best and you hope that that's the one you go with. And to me, I just wasn't a big fan of Penny, and especially in my main league, the guy right in front of me picked Penny at 102, which was awesome because then I got Geis at 103.
So let's stay there. So even for somebody that doesn't redraft, I'm going to make you do a dynasty startup right now. How far does Penny have to slide, or Carson? You know, at what point is Carson too expensive for you to grab him there? Because obviously Penny's going to slide back a little bit. Carson's moving up. Even in dynasty, I think we're seeing that a little bit now.
I agree, and I wouldn't take him too high. I'm just talking about more along the lines of, see, we trading or trying to get him in, you know, waivers or with off of somebody else's team. In a startup, I probably wouldn't take Chris Carson that high. No, I don't think so.
So Carson's currently in the 11th. You're comfortable with it there, but if he's up to, like, the 8th round, somebody's still okay with that? No,
I wouldn't take him in the 8th round. I'm sure there's other players that might be better in the 8th round to take. But I don't know. What about you guys?
I think 11 is fine. I mean, he's probably your 3rd or 4th running back at that point, right?
Correct.
That's a fine gamble. I mean, I wouldn't do it. But
yeah, I mean, unless I'm on a team that's pretty strong and could win it now, I'm not really too interested in Carson. I think Penny's still the future there. I'd be happy. What's that?
I was going to say you taking Carson, or I bet you in the startup, I bet you a guy like Jordan Wilkins probably has the same ADP. I mean, who are you taking there?
Man, in the startup, that's a tough one. I think I'm going to go with Chris Carson.
How many dynasty startups are really happening with 2 weeks before the season starts?
At least one.
At least one.
Well, I mean, we're still doing one. We're like round 19 right now.
Well, I guess so. You're ready to do a listener league for Dynasty Trades HQ. I get that. Yeah. But I mean, these real diehard dynasty people, we were doing drafts back in February, you know?
Yeah, I just...
I did plenty then.
Sipes, we just finished the draft. Me and Sipes just finished a rookie draft. Nice try, boy.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a rookie draft. I'm talking about startups. Yeah, and the only reason we just finished a rookie draft is because that league is totally screwed up and our rookie thing went way late.
I just drafted Alfred Morris in round 22. You want to talk about that?
No, we can talk about
that. No, that's a great gamble.
Well, I took Jeremy McNichols the half round before that. So you guys and want Morris or McNichols?
I'm going to take Morris.
I would take McNichols. I'll take McNichols. Oh. But
Swags, you're only saying that because you took Morris. You're only saying that because I took McNichols before you could do it.
You send me that trade right now if you want to test me.
What? I don't want Alfred Morris. Why would I want that?
I'll reject it.
I'll tell you guys, one of the things that I was listening to your show from last week.
This effing guy.
I love how you guys sit here and you say what you guys will do, and then you say, okay, let's do it right now, and then it doesn't happen. Right. Doing that last week, too.
We've made a few trades. We have made a few live. It's tough. Usually a trade between me and Swags takes about 3-4 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell me why McNichols is the guy to own over Alfred Morris. Anyone.
To me, I only did it because I got to pick before you, and I figured it'd piss you off. I mean, really? I was like, I didn't really need it, but I was like, I thought it'd be kind of funny. Because even you after that were like, didn't see that coming.
Why can't Alfred Morris be successful in that Shanahan offense that he was already most successful in his career in? The dude doesn't have a lot of miles. I know he's 30, but if he's – I don't believe in McKinnon to stay healthy all year. I'm not going to lie. Like,
obviously, it's already not going to happen.
I don't know. That's how I feel about it.
McNichols can catch, too.
Yeah, and he's a lot younger. Yeah, I totally get that. It's not like I hate McNichols.
Boom.
Yeah, McNichols was a high school wide receiver and a wide receiver that first year at Boise State. He can make some plays.
All right, you guys are deciding. Cogs is on the McNichols side. Sipes, you're up.
McNichols. Worst.
Perfect. It doesn't even matter.
Listen, and I went to FAU, back in the 80s, though. But, the thing is for me with that, I mean, when was the last time Alfred Morris played and played where he got you some fantasy points?
Last year. When did McNichols do it?
Well, no, he didn't. Neither one of these guys, neither one of the – you're talking about what lottery ticket you're going to take in the
– Totally, well, I'm sorry, what totally. Round did you say? For sure. Round? I think it's like 22, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll take – I don't usually go with the young – like everybody, I want the youngest guy. But, I mean, at this point, if you're going to take a shot, you take a shot on the younger guy that might do something as opposed to the older guy that, you know, up until
my
what, team last
is
week
so
he was
young.
On his couch.
So yeah. Which one of you guys is taking that Joe Williams next round? That's what I want to know.
I already took him.
He took him first.
See, and Joe Williams would have went before all that, right? When did you take Joe Williams?
3 rounds ago, 4 rounds ago.
As soon as the first McKinnon news dropped, yeah, the next pick.
McKinnon, yeah, I got out. I was like, oh, I'm up on the board. I'll take Joe Williams. What do you know? Perfect timing.
I picked up Joe Williams off of waivers in the off season in a couple leagues just for the hell of it. Like, what the hell?
Yeah,
who knows
so
what
much
would happen,
Joe Williams.
Yeah, yeah, because you don't know with those running backs. You just don't know.
Taking out for Morris.
We never got your. You're Morris or McNichols.
I was.
I know it didn't count, but
McNichols last year. I had a team called Slippery McNichols. That was my guy, but he never panned out. But I think the reason why he's there is that both Jerick McKinnon and Breda are going to be ready to start the season, and Kyle Shanahan merely given a paycheck to an old guy that was good for him years ago. As someone who knows the offense, knows the blocking scheme, is able to run this just to get them through the rest of training camp, get them through the preseason. I pull McKinnon to be ready, and both of these guys will be third string, need a couple of injuries to be relevant. So you can have with one, but yeah, I'd rather have the younger guy.
And that goes back to the whole lottery ticket thing. You're just taking a shot at it right now. So
totally.
Sure. Let's keep going. Got some super flexed news here in Chad Kelly, Paxton Lynch. That's not much of a shocker, even though I don't like Chad. And also Josh Allen moving up to the second spot. So let's start with the Broncos. Anybody buying some Hag Kelly here? Silence.
I
love it.
I think super late if you have a spot, especially if you own Case. I mean, he's going to be backing your guy up. We all know how expensive a quarterback can be in super flex when your guy goes down or somebody has Kelly and you don't. They're going to charge you. So it's worth owning late for sure.
I took Kelly in a couple rookie drafts last year with like the last pick. I mean, that's the other thing with some of these leagues, especially in DFF. I don't know about other
these
dynasty leagues. No. But what I'm saying is, the reason I say it that way is I usually play in IDP leagues. But there's quite a few of these DFF leagues that were startup leagues that are offensive only. And when you have like 5 rounds of offensive only rookies, it's like, what the hell are you going to take with the 5-12? So I took Chad Kelly last year in a couple of those leagues in the 5th round. So I'm happy to see that he's looking pretty good. I don't have Paxton Lynch anywhere, so that's fine with me.
Nobody should,
exactly.
Hashtag never pack.
And that league that we were just talking trash about, I took Trent Cannon 5-12.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
Did you and I didn't we do a trade with some of those picks?
Yeah, that was your pick, and I traded for it. Yeah,
that's what I thought. Yeah, I was getting rid of some of those fourth and fifth round picks. That's right, we did a couple trades. So that's what you did with the 5-12.
Yeah.
That's awesome, because I picked him up. Most of my leagues, the waivers went through tonight at 8 o'clock, and I got Cannon in almost every one of the waivers I put a claim in for him this week.
Nice. I'd take Cannon over Alfred Morris.
Oh, I would too, yeah. That's awesome, Josh, that's what you took with the 5-12. What did we trade? Oh, yeah, you gave me Tavon Austin for the 5-12. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do that.
I think I got another 5th from you, too.
Yeah, the future 5th. That's what it was. Yeah. The 5-12 and the future 5th for Tavon, which I was fine taking a shot on that. Again, with those offensive only leagues, I don't know how many you guys play in, but to me, I'd much rather have the IDP element in it than just offensive only.
Well, in that particular league, it's crazy deep. It's offensive only, 12 teams, 35-man rosters, 8 taxi squad. It's just like, I felt like I just had to trade all my useless veterans so I could actually fill my taxi squad.
And it worked out good for us because I traded you a lot of my picks too, I think. You know?
So, Chad Kelly in a startup.
we took over Josh. Sorry about that.
Well, Superflex.
Nope, you're good.
Superflex, I want the swag, but I had him in a few leagues and I was able to move him for a higher pick than I took him for, so I was pretty happy with that. But, I mean, is he going to start over Case Keenum?
No.
Probably not.
I think it would take an injury.
Yeah.
But let's not forget, maybe Keenum was in a great system last year in Minnesota. I mean, the year before that, everybody thought he was the worst quarterback in the NFL. We could blame James.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if something weird happened like that. And
he's a solid veteran, man. He's going to put the ball on Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. Probably a little bit of Cortland Sutton at the team that I fancy will probably be behind a little bit. So there'll be some negative game scripts. So I see that being a halfway decent offense. And I think Case Keenum kind of, you know, is in that same vein as Baker Mayfield. I know that I'll get me killed by, you know, Baker fans, but it's true. I mean, marginal athletes, really accurate passers who can put the ball on wide receivers. As long as he gets good offensive coaching, and that Case Keenum is going to be just fine.
Yeah. I mean, he's got Demaryius Thomas, Sanders, and then Sutton coming up. He's got decent targets. Don't forget about Jake Butt.
Butt stuff.
Well, I'm hoping for a Case injury because I had to take Elliott in the 19th of that stuff.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you just did that. This guy.
I don't even like him. But because of that, I was on a turn. I gambled far too long. My quarterback sucked. Whatever. I was trying to get Mr. Andy Dalton and the Superplex from this guy Swags here. And I ended up not winning this one, even though I won a GIF off.
Why we got to talk about all these trades?
Because that's whatever. You can host next time and do it how you want to. Andy Dalton or Michael Gallup, a 2020 first and a 2019 second. The quarterbacks they have are Breeze and Tyrod Taylor in the startup, and that's all they had there. So if that's your case, will you pay that for Andy Dalton? Let's start with Memphis. What's up, buddy?
First of all,
you like some Red Rifle?
You'll be hard pressed to find a bigger Andy Dalton fan. I'm actually got Andy Dalton in a IDP Superflex that I'm in with Pipes.
I feel like I've heard you say that before, so that's why I would kind of jump the Red Rifle over there. You know, will you pay this Michael Gallup 2021st and a 2019 second for?
I was going to say, because I'm a big Andy Dalton fan. He has never in his career, I think he's like going into his eighth year, he's never finished worse than QB 18 ever. Okay. So he's a good QB too, but no, hell no. I'm not paying Michael Gallup a first and a second. Because that first next year could be a quarterback that, you know, could replace Andy Dalton. I like that of Gallup. It's a hair too much. Too much.
Did you say this was a trade that Swags did? Is that what you said?
Correct.
Which side were you, Swags?
I got Gallup in that 2020.
Oh, okay. So then that's a great trade for you.
So,
and it's a startup?
It is a startup, and the other team was on the other side of the turn and ended up with Breeze and Tyrod as their only, by the time all the quarterbacks still in the free agent pool were complete trash. You put poo on accident there in the parentheses. I meant pool, but it kind of means the same thing there. So he felt like he needed to get that third quarterback. Do you guys need that third quarterback on that Superflex to cover up those buys? Like, do you need that? It's not a quarterback. It is a super flex. You could play something else there, but you still want to leave with three.
I'll say this. We've talked about it with Dynasty Trades HQ. We've talked about it since the very beginning. Every time you talk about a trade, you can't really talk about it in a vacuum. There's other things that are involved in the trade. And when you sit here and say that this is an active draft that's going on and guy is on the turn and there's no chance that he's going to get another back when it's back to him, because you go down 12 and back up 12, it's very difficult to get something else. So then you've got a different mindset when you're making a trade, you know?
Right.
So depending on what his roster's like, maybe you do that trade because you need to have that third quarterback. It also depends on the scoring system. Are quarterbacks scoring so much more than, say, a wide receiver does? You need Andy Dalton instead of Michael Gallup.
And to your point, Dalton was drafted in round 9 and then Gallup in round 12.
Right.
So it's not that much of a gap.
There may or may not have been a small bid war. I mean, things happen.
Oh, wait, this is an auction?
Nope. No, but two people wanted Dalton.
Oh, okay. See, and so then again, that's where you get another element, another little thing that goes in there. It's not in a vacuum.
Swags, what was the other side? You can say.
Galladay and 2020 first as well. But then I got the 2019 with the other one. He threw that in last second and sent it out with the 2020 first, the second, and Dalton. I mean, I didn't even send it. He just said, sent you a trade. Let me know what you think. And I'm like,
So when there is a bidding war, you're sitting in the catbird seat, I guess, where you could take whatever offer you get.
Oh, yeah. They had a dance off and everything, man. It was a good couple hours.
Jiff dance off in a private gym.
Was somebody on the clock while you were doing this, or was this off to the side while other people were drafting?
This is off to the side. Yeah, we did not
have the draft. The draft was still going on. Yeah,
so if you're off to the side, then shoot. Yeah, sit back and, see.
Watch us dance, literally.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wait, why? Were you part of it?
The Galladay in the 2021st was my bid for
you. Oh, see, even last week on our show, we were talking about this whole thing that Big Perm sent in, and we went through this whole discussion of it, and then after we did it all, Jeremy said, oh, by the way, that was me that Big Perm was talking about. So it's always funny when you don't have those little kernels of knowledge.
Moral of the story, do not neglect your quarterback position in a two quarterback or super flex league, especially if I'm in it. I'll have quarterbacks for you, though.
Yes.
And Randy. Randy's gone.
He's out. So, I was on the other side of the turn and loaded up on wide receivers. So every time it came around, I saw way too many go, and I was like, F it, I'm not taking this tier now. And then all of that tier would go again. So I ended up with Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning as my starting quarterback. So I felt like Kenny Galladay was like my eighth wide receiver, literally in this draft. So I was like, "Yep, I'll give that up because I need that red rifle." And I definitely won the Jiff dance off. I'm just gonna throw that out there. I won that 100%.
But you didn't win the trade.
What a jerk!
Did he say to you, "Hey, listen, I also got a 19"? Or did you not know that he also had a deal with somebody else?
No, I think all sides kind of knew what was kind of going on there until
his counter when he knew that I had that second thrown in, because I try to be fair and let people know what's going on when that's actually happening, because they both had solid offers and I knew it. So when that happened, he offered me Ebron, and I said I kind of want that second, and he goes, "Well, I think Ebron this, and I think that offer for Ebron is almost too much." And I said, "Well, I didn't offer it," and then I accepted the other one.
Yep.
Did Two Drink, did you have a 19 second that you could afford?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So did you end up getting a third quarterback yet or no?
Yeah, I got Chad Kelly.
Now it comes full circle.
Right?
Exactly. It is so great. I mean, we have a lot of fun on our show, too. You slowly give out little bits of information.
Just as you need it, dude.
And then it all comes full circle, you know?
That's hilarious. There is a method to my madness here.
Yeah.
Swags, I hate you. I love you, Sir Mike. That's who got Andy Dalton. Bastard.
Right. And then neither of them even grabbed Mason Rudolph or anything. Just kept neglecting it the rest of the way.
Oh, why? Did you grab Mason Rudolph then?
Yeah.
Swags drafted like 9 quarterbacks at some point. Like, he's shipped a couple off, I feel like. And
I've traded away 2 and I own 5.
Well, you need that in the Super Bowl, right?
I mean, so now, it's worked out so far for him.
And now it looks like you got like quite a few other trades here on this sheet that you guys wanted to talk about.
Yeah, we'll see. You want to get to those? We can get to those. Let's do it. So let's get one that involves guys here, because since we were talking about that earlier.
Wow.
I got at Dynasty Bill, Superflex Mixon or Geis in a 19 seconds. So the side getting Mixon is pretty loaded, and the other side is a definite rebuild. Is that enough for either side there if you're sitting on both sides of that? Are you rebuilding? Are you giving up Mixon to get Geist in a second? Like, does that really help you there?
Wait, I'm confused. So you're saying the rebuild side would have got Geist in a second, or the rebuild side was going to get Mixon?
No, the rebuilding side is getting Geist in the second. The stack team is getting Mixon.
For me, the contention cycle doesn't really matter, to be honest with you. But I want to hear Memphis or Sipes on this.
Well, Memphis left, so.
Oh, he did. we got Josh.
What about Josh? What do you think, Josh?
Sorry, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right. I'm not a Mixon guy at all, so I'm all Mark Walton, but I think I would give that, but I mean, I was able to trade Mixon for Stephon Diggs this offseason, so I was pretty happy with that. So
I'd want the Mixon side of that, though.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like Geist a lot better. And if you're rebuilding, you want those running backs in their first 2 or 3 years of playing. Obviously, Geist is gone for the year, so you know, Mixon. This is kind of a make or break year for Mixon. You know, he could be awesome, and then he could suck the next year, or he could suck both years. So I think we'll see how Geist comes through this. But I like Geist's talent better. So you're going to give me the second. I guess I'll take that side.
Geist, I think. For me, with a super flex and with a rebuilding team, I like both of the guys, but I would probably want Geist in the second, because even with that second, or even with Geist, maybe you could turn around and get another couple of pieces that could help rebuild a super flex team than maybe you could get with the Mixon piece.
Yeah, and then there's the evil wicked side that if you have Geist, you can't play him, so you're probably going to have a higher first as well. So you're sort of training for that.
Yeah.
I try not to think about those type of things, because I don't ever want to get that higher pick. I want to make as many trades and as many free agent moves as I can
definitely
do to make sure I don't do that. But I would look at it, especially as a rebuilding team, I would look at it more about getting the multiple pieces that you can also turn around and trade to get other pieces.
But at some point in the show, one of you mentioned that there's going to be a time in the future when we can buy Geist a little bit cheaper. So I think that time, I agree with that. So I think if you pay that now, you're paying about market value, where with Mixon, you have this whole entire year, and all we really need to do is have that O-line better by the time Geist is healthy. Is that fair?
Well, yeah. Sure, but if you're a rebuilding team, again, it
you're doing it for the second?
Well, that's the thing. It goes back to the whole thing in a vacuum. I mean, when you're a real rebuilding team, what does the rest of your team look like? I mean, if the rest of your team is real shit, if the rest of your team really sucks, like, what are you going to do with Mixon on your team? If the rest of your team really sucks, then you take the guys, you put them on IR, you wait till next year, and you take the second, and you either move the second, or next year you use that second. But if your team is a rebuilding team that has good pieces, and getting Mixon would help that team win, then you would do that. But technically, usually when people say a rebuilding team, the rest of it all blows. So what's the point in doing that if you can get two future pieces as opposed to one? I mean, that's a
tough one for me. I agree with everything you're saying. You know, it's tough to argue, but I think there's going to come a time when there'll be some frustrated owners, and you may be able to get guys a little bit cheaper if you don't wait too long. Like, you don't want to wait till the end of the season and that person's already looking that much into next year. But I think people will be willing to pay a little bit more for Mixon and a little bit less for Geist. And I'm just not ready, man. And I want to go buy Geist too, but I'm a Mixon guy too. To the conversation.
Didn't you say that team that's getting Mixon is the stacked team?
Yeah, so let's take it from that side. If you're that side, is that worth giving up Geist in a second to get Mixon and go win it right now?
If you're a stacked team, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Let's say you don't do the deal and hold out for a while. I mean, he might sell him for less.
Well, that's the thing. I was going it from the point of view as the rebuilding team. I wasn't looking at the stacked team. You know, because obviously the stacked team doesn't need those two pieces. You know, they want to win now. They want to get the players that they need right now. You know, so if you look at that way, of course you give up guys for the second for Mixon.
And if they're stacked, that second's going to be a late second, right?
Yeah.
So maybe you hold out and get their late first instead.
Well, hopefully, Dynasty Bill, that helps you. We've been all over the place.
Even like he mentioned in here, he feels like it's kind of a win-win for both sides. So
exactly.
He was getting Mixon and he likes it. 72% takes the Mixon side, but we had 798 votes. 72% takes Mixon. So win-win. Both sides. Of course.
I can't take the tips in your hair serious anymore. We need to do something about this.
I guess we can't do that on Superflex. Y'all don't even know.
You know, it's funny. Yes, please.
What happened?
Wait,
can we talk about the other guy's trade?
Yeah.
The other guy's trade. Yep.
Didn't Swag move guys for Baker in a second or something like that?
Yeah, we talked about that one already. Were you not here?
Oh, shoot.
No, you can chime in, though, dude. I'm curious to hear.
Yeah, tell us what you think, Josh. Yeah.
I just don't like Baker Mayfield. So.
Wow.
So there you go.
You like my guy said.
Rookie fever, so in shade of the quarterback. Appreciate it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a Superflex show, right? Come on, Josh.
Yeah. But, you know, I think Randy mentioned Baker Mayfield and Keenum in the same breath. Keenum has got an absolute hose. I mean, he comes from Houston where that fun and gun system where they just threw the ball all over the place. Keenum threw for like 7 million yards in college. He's got way better deep ball than Baker will ever have.
At Houston, right? That's where you said he went to school? Right. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and I mean, basically, you're potentially waiting on both of those guys, right, for a year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess if you're really desperate for Superflex, it makes sense. But I'm just not a Mayfield guy, so that's where I'm at.
Apparently.
I'm pretty sure that's where everybody else was at too when we talked about it. one of the trades that you guys do have on this sheet, which would have been very interesting to hear Shane talk about it, because over there on our show, Shane is just in love with Odell Beckham, and he's also in love with Superflex.
Yeah,
so that trade you have on there that says not Superflex with Odell Beckham would have been interesting to see what they thought about it, or he thought about it.
Well, Shane would have just turned around and pouted because it wasn't Superflex, right, Sype?
It's really funny because, you know, we do the same type of thing with our show where we talk about these trades and to drink, like you were just going over the stats on Twitter. I like to do a thing where I throw some of these trades out. Like you guys have this on your show sheet, but for our show, I throw some of these things out with those guys not even knowing what the trade's going to be just to get their feel for it. And then I throw in what the votes are on Twitter. And sometimes it really comes out funny, but more times than not, Jeremy and I are on one side and Shane's on the other. But you have a trade here that's a half point PPR, 10 team dynasty, not Superflex, where somebody gave up Kareem Hunt, Allen Robinson, Shady, a 19 first and a 20 first for Odell Beckham and Mixon.
That's a lot.
That's a lot, a lot.
It seems like it's a lot on both sides, really. It's kind of like
– it's a big trade.
It's a big trade. And that's what happens with a 10-team league. You know, when you have 10-team leagues, a lot of the players on these teams are all-stars, you know? So when you do a big trade like this, you're going to get a lot of all-stars in the trade.
So
I think Josh is home or is getting out of his car.
Sorry.
Nice. I'll take OBJ and Mixon, and I don't even think that hard, to be honest. 10 teams. I want studs up front. Like, let's go. I get all sides are studs, but I think I'm gonna get more. I don't know. Shady almost makes me feel bad. Like I don't want to.
Yeah. With the whole thing, I mean, that's the thing we talked about last week on our show too. It's kind of like all quiet on that front. I mean, after you saw all that stuff that came out, it's kind of shady with the whole thing. but for me, a lot of times you hear me on the side of trading Odell Beckham on our show, but I think in this case I would do the same thing. I agree with you. I'd go with Odell Beckham and the Mixon side. You know, it's one thing to get all those future picks and all that stuff, but I would rather roll those two guys out than Kareem and A-Rob.
I mean, OBJ, like just value alone, I think OBJ not at one, even in Superflex, he should be top 2-3. Wags, I don't know how far you got him down. I know he's still up that way. Mixon to me isn't that far off of Kareem Hunt, so I'm getting two out of the top 3 assets in this trade on that side. Give me that one. Like I said, it's almost too easy, but it's so many pieces on the other side. Look all those first. Like, just, I get it. Swag, I'm taking that other side. Stop it.
I mean, yeah, how far off is Hunt and Odell Beckham Jr. today? They're not that far off. And then Mixon and A-Rob really aren't that far off. Like, one side, I feel like, upgrades a running back. The other side upgrades a wide receiver. And then you get Shady, who you can take out of this, and it doesn't affect me either way. I'll take that Hunt side with the futures, man.
But let me ask you this. Let me ask you something. Okay. The history of NFL and these wide receivers that go from team to team to team to team, it usually doesn't work out. So are you're that confident that A-Rob going over there is going to be the kind of
he's a big A-Rob guy.
What?
He's a big A-Rob guy.
Well, so then that influences people's decision.
And I don't know where you were going with your question, though, but I do not see Allen Robinson in the same light as Odell Beckham Jr. If that's where you were going, I don't agree that they are the same. But I think that in value-wise, I think that Hunt is closer to Odell Beckham than he is to Mixon.
And
I
think
that A-Rob is kind of close to Mixon. I think that Odell Beckham Jr. is the best player in the trade, but I don't hate this trade, honestly.
Well, I don't hate it either, but I'll say this, at least for my opinion, I mean, we all play Dynasty. Yes, we're looking towards the long term, but you also want to win now. And I think a lot of people overvalue getting all these picks. I mean, look at this year's draft.
I know what you mean. It definitely does change your team this year as far as the points it's going to be putting up while you're waiting for those picks.
Exactly. And listen, I'm not telling people not to trade for picks because we trade for so much stuff. Trading is the lifeblood of all Dynasty. But I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, in this year's draft, if you had the 1.01, boom, you got Barkley. But there's been so much talk on every show, on the radio, on television, on all this stuff, how from 102 to 110, you've got such a different hodgepodge of what people think is going to happen. So it's so hard to value any of those picks anyways. And if you've got a player that's going to help you win again, it's in a vacuum. You're just going in a vacuum. You don't know what this guy's rest of his team looks like.
I think you mostly talked me into that side.
Okay, good. I didn't mean to, but there you go.
I mean, I see what you're saying, though. You know what I mean? But
Sipes, I need you around more often.
No worries.
What about you, Josh? Josh is not.
Josh is like in his house doing something, and that's
no.
We keep
I'm here. Sorry. It's storming outside. I'm trying to find a quiet place.
Oh no, you're good. But what did you think about the trade, Josh?
I don't know. I kind of did a similar deal to get Beckham, and I've regretted it ever since. So I'm okay taking Beckham at a startup, but I'm not gonna trade.
You just
a whole
have to pay
to
so much to get him. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to trade to get him anymore. Just well, not to mention he's kind of a prima donna. You know, he still hasn't signed that contract, and
well,
a little bit of a baggage that comes with there.
Just pulled a headache.
Very much so, and we've talked about that on our show all the time. I'm not a fan of his at all. Shane loves him, and I don't like all that extra stuff. But again, if we put that stuff aside, that's why I end up going that direction.
And you said it was a 19 first and a 20 first?
Yeah, yep. Two firsts.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, I could be way off, but I know our boys at the Devy Watch are big N'Keal Harry fans, and I hope I have a pick high enough to take him next year because he is really the next great guy as far as I'm concerned. And the following 2020 class is going to be quarterback and running back heavy, so I'm not moving those picks. I guess that's
yeah, but the problem again goes back to what you just said, N'Keal Harry. Okay, if you know that 19 first is going to be the 101, then hey, yeah, that's great. But what if that's the 107 or the 110? And the other thing is, you're getting that pick from the guy that you're giving Odell Beckham and Mixon. So what? How is that going to change that guy's first?
Yeah, you know? Keep your side. It will be a good pick.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like you're getting scrubs back, though, and you'll get your team a little bit better in 2019, and then you get your team a little bit better again in 2020. It's not all about this year.
And no, I guess what I'm saying is I would rather keep the picks than trade them for Odell.
Yeah.
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 And if you do make that trade, then you have two firsts, then you can maybe trade up. So,
well, that's the other thing, that you always have that option when you make these kind of trades. It's not trade and done. You know, do another trade, package those stuff to get another player. And then if that's the case, then that changes the whole dynamic of what the answer would be on what trade you would do. If you already have that in place, or you know that you're going to move those first, then yeah, then you definitely do the side with the first, because you're going to go get something else.
So, yeah. Let's did we just lose Sipes?
No, I'm here.
Who'd we lose?
No. Josh? Oh, we lost Josh.
I would say is if you value Gifting's opinion at all on OBJ, even a little, for a massive Eagles fan as he is, for him to have that much love for a Giant should tell you at least a little something here. Agdorf fan account? Yeah.
Let's move it along, and not only, but we'll stick with the Giants, and we'll stick with the theme of moving all the hell over the place on these notes. And so is now the time to sell out on Barkley? Did he peak too soon? Like, is it crazy that he's going like
just the Amir Abdullah
102?
You're saying
no, I'm not saying that. I don't think he's gonna no, please hear me out. I'm by no means am I saying that he is not gonna be a stud. That is not what I'm saying, but people are drafting him at like 102, and they're putting a lot of stock into something that hasn't happened. Like, his value is already with Todd Gurley and Zeke, and why not? What, the only way it can go is down.
I'll say this. I agree. The only way it could go is down, because it's such a high. Listen, I haven't seen him go 102 anywhere, but that's, to me, is crazy. I wouldn't take him at 102.
I've seen 102 and I've heard of 103. I've seen 102.
Yep. But I would not give up on him. Look, if I'm not giving up on Geis right now, I'm not going to give up on
him. But I'm not giving up on him.
Well, that's what you just said. You said, is it time to move him? Isn't that what you said?
But based on his value, like his peak value, like he's already peaked as far as his production goes, but there is, if people are already willing to pay that price, and people are, even if it's not you, Sipes, if people are already willing to pay that price now, what happens with a couple bad injuries? I don't want them. I'm not saying he's not going to – I love Barkley. I want Barkley. I'm not saying that. But if I can go get Chubb and Geis for Barkley, I'm all in.
No, listen, that's different. I thought you were asking – I misunderstood your question. I thought you were asking, do you get rid of him now because of what's going on?
No, sorry. My bad.
I already agree with you that his price is way higher than it should be. And I am perfectly fine. One of my best friends, he always says, get a meaty sack for something. I am perfectly fine trying to get sorry, to drink. His earphones just popped out of his ear. No, I am perfectly fine getting a big pack. A big package for Geis right now. I mean, not Geis. I'm sorry. For Barkley. Because I agree. I think that's totally overinflated. I would much rather have – there's quite a few guys I'd much rather have at the 102 than him. But, yeah, if you can turn around and get – what did you just say, Geis and Chubb?
Yeah.
I'll bet – at least what I've seen, I'll bet you could get more than Geis and Chubb.
Yeah.
You know, and that I would do, definitely, mostly because of what I said in the – like, if you want to wrap this whole show up to the very beginning, the running back position, no matter how great these guys are, Gurley, everybody's so great. But the moment one of those guys go down, some Joe Schmo that's already on your waiver wire that you're going to pick up in week five is going to be in your starting lineup.
You're going to have Gallman in there. Jonathan Stewart.
I mean, look at people's fantasy championship lineups that they started. They had running backs in those rosters that nobody talked about in week one. So if you could get some kind of package for them, I'm all for it. Now, whether that's wrong or not, I mean, I know there's so many people, including Shane from my show, would do anything to get Barkley. But I mean, sometimes you have to see if you can get that meaty sack.
You can literally almost ruin somebody's team having them get Barkley from you.
Well, and that's another thing too. If your team does not have any other pieces and all that kind of stuff, getting a player like Barkley, I understand that they say, "Oh, well, I'm rebuilding," but everything else is not there, you know. Yeah. And especially with running backs, how big of a window do they have that they're going to be able to carry you?
Yeah, Barkley is not at a rebuild price.
No.
But, so by no means am I saying to sell low. That, but I was saying like you can sell for so much, it's crazy.
And I would have done that prior to whatever these guys are talking about. I mean, because we don't even know what's wrong with him right now. You know, they could say whatever the hell they want to. Like, I'm not sure who mentioned it. Somebody mentioned Stefania Bell here, and I heard her today on Sirius, and she was talking about how they don't have to disclose anything. You know, so they don't have to tell you what's wrong with these guys. But these guys standing on the sideline watching things play, if they're still standing around, you know, hey, maybe something's not as serious as they think. But some people will start to get nervous about it and do it. I would be willing to do it prior to all that stuff because I think his value is just through the roof. And if you can get a big meaty sack of stuff, do it.
Heck yeah.
I feel like there are other trades on this sheet, but there is nowhere to go down from meaty sack and big package. So I feel like
my friend Dynasty Greg is going to be so thrilled that you like that too.
Well, he does some fresh meat articles. He likes the meat, so he's gonna. We're all gonna sleep well knowing that Sipes doesn't have to edit tonight, and these guys both have fresh meat on their minds.
Yes, absolutely. And hey, I had a lot of fun. Last man standing. Somehow we lost everybody.
I know you're here from the beginning to the end. We were together like 15 minutes before we recorded, and then everybody hopped on. And
as you guys will hear, made it out.
Oh, hey, wait a second. Listen,
our 1 hour marathon that the other guys couldn't make it through.
Exactly. And look, I'm very happy. Thank you for having me on. I know, you didn't say it on the show, but you said it prior to the show that this is the first time you guys have had a guest on the show. So thanks for asking me. I know Randy's gone, but before Randy started working on Dynasty Warzone, I was the first guest over on Dynasty Warzone too. So
nice.
Thank you for having me on. And you know, with
pleasure Dynasty- is all ours though, man. Thank you. Seriously. Definitely.
I mean, kind of.
Yeah. I'm sorry if I took over a couple times too, you know, with Dynasty Football Factory, you know, we have a lot of great shows and we got a lot of great guys here. And I think over time we've lost some people and gained some people. And I think you guys are definitely an asset to us over here.
Awesome. And, thank you.
You're welcome. And I think your show is doing great. And for us, for Dynasty Trades HQ, you know, we have a lot of fun doing the shows and we have a lot of fun with you guys. And I know I mentioned to you guys prior to the show, and I just to throw it out there to everybody listening, Dynasty Football Factory has a partnership with FFPC, and we're going to be live at the FFPC in Vegas in September. So actually, Dynasty Trades HQ is going to broadcast live from there. So I would love to get you guys on camera, on mic and everything. I know you guys can't be in Vegas, but love to get you guys on. We want to get as many people as we can to get into the action and have some fun with us.
Yeah, we would love to crash that party.
Sure. So that would be great. And, you know, everybody listening, if you want to catch our show, if you haven't heard it, we're Dynasty Trades HQ. We also have a Patreon account now. I know I apologized I apologized a couple times saying curse words because we all know that the higher ups over here at DFF don't want people cursing. So, you know, come listen to our show. And if you want to hear the cursing version, you can hear us over on Patreon. And, you know, we just have a lot of fun hopefully we'll get you guys on in Vegas and we'll get a big powwow going with everybody.
Yeah. And I mean, nice. Guys, what you need to do is subscribe to our shows. Follow us on Twitter. Those are the quickest ways to get updates. Anything that we're going to put out and content, you'll see it the quickest. So with that said, tell them who you are and tell them that your Dynasty Trades tags and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. For Dynasty Trades HQ, our Twitter handle is Dynasty Trades HQ, and you can find all three of us. We have Jeremy. He's at DFF underscore Madman. And everybody loves Shane. He's at DFF underscore Shane, at DFF underscore Shane. And then for myself, I'm at FF Blitz. So, you know, if you want to give us a follow, send us any messages, we're always on. Shane and I always go back and forth with each other. A lot of times he rips on some people and I have to go in there and clean him up. So follow all of us. We'd love to have you.
We had Memphis at @DFF_Memphis from the Dynasty Warzone. And we also had Josh from Rookie Fever Podcast @DFF_Cog, I believe it's his too. Swags.
Yeah, both great shows. Give those a listen. Follow those guys. And I'm @DFF_Swag. I think we're out of here.
@SuperflexPod, @SuperflexTrain. Hit them all up. Let's get out, dude.
Sweet.
Later.
Thanks.
Just keep you guys on.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for enjoying the Super Flexible Podcast at Super Flex Pod. We're the mini podcast brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and Dynasty Football Factory, available anywhere you listen to podcasts. So go subscribe to the show and get every podcast as soon as it releases straight to your phone. While you're there, go ahead and rate and review the show. That helps the show out more than you know. It helps get all you Super Flexers the best content that you want to hear. On Twitter, follow the host, Steve, @TheRealPalupka, and the two co-hosts, Swag, @DFF_Swag, and Two Drink, @FL2DrinkMinimum. But wait, there's more. Subscribe now and promise to tell a friend. And we will throw in all the other podcasts from the DF Network for free. Be sure to check out
Dynasty Trade Nation, Dynasty Warzone, Daddy Watch, Pathology 101, the IEP Edge Crusher, Dynasty Football Fellas, and the Rookie Fever Podcast. Remember to tag @SuperflexPod and @SuperflexTrade for all your Superflex and two quarterback needs. Plus, GTFEU. Use that promo code in all caps, Superflex, and get that $500 match. Do that now. Get fantasy ripped with the Super Flexible Podcast.